What comes to mind when you hear the word stewardship? Now, there's secular stewardship, according to Merriam-Webster, is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Biblical stewardship can be consciously defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and for the betterment of His creation. Having said this, we can conclude without a doubt that we are all stewards of many things. A worn-out dollar bill and a similarly distressed $20 bill arrive at the Federal Reserve Bank to be retired. As they move along the conveyor belt to be burned, they strike up a conversation. The 20 reminisces about its travels all over the country. "Man," he said, "I've had a pretty good life. Why, I've been to Las Vegas, Atlantic City, performances on Broadway, the best restaurants in New York City, even a cruise to the Caribbean." "Wow," exclaims the $1 bill, "you really had an exciting life. So tell me," says the 20, "where have you been throughout your lifetime?" "Well," the $1 bill replies, "well, I've been to the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church." "Tell me," the $20 bill interrupts, "what's a church?" What does this tell you? Might it indicate that churchgoers are poor givers? Maybe not in the sense of having the money, but that you don't give as much as you could? Of course, that's for you to decide. But this congregation does very well in their financial support of their church. Years ago, when I belonged to Trinity Lutheran Church across the river, I was on church council and was the stewardship committee chairman. We had an annual stewardship Sunday on which I would have to give an appeal for increased giving based on needs and expenses. I really was uncomfortable doing this. But there were some church members who felt that if they weren't in church, they didn't owe for that Sunday. Well, we all know the expenses of a church go on whether you are there or not. But asking for money was not enjoyable, but I was assigned a job and I did it. Little did I know that down the line I would be credit manager for American Home Foods with the responsibility of being steward of one of the corporation's most valuable assets, accounts receivable portfolio from domestic, government, Puerto Rican, and international accounts totaling over $70 million. Now that was back in the 90s, so I'm sure after almost 30 years, the receivables are much, much higher. But once again, I was asking for money, but now it was a career, my job. Believe me, I was accountable for my stewardship. But most pastors don't like to talk about money, but in church circles, when you hear stewardship, you think of the financial side of the church. But like I said earlier, church stewardship was much more than that. We are stewards of everything. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 2 to 8, it mentions 28 things that there is time for: to be born and to die, to plant and to uproot, to kill and to heal, to tear down and to build up, to weep and to laugh, to mourn and to dance. Does anybody remember the movie Footloose? Well, Google it and read the synopsis about the dance. To scatter and to gather, to embrace and refrain, to search and to give up, keep and throw away, tear and mend, to be silent and speak, to love and hate, to war and to be at peace. In verse 10 we read, "I have seen the burden God has on the human race." That, my friends, is you and me. Verse 22, "So I saw there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them?" We have to play the hand we are dealt. There are no shortcuts. I learned this in my military basic training. You had better dust those corners, because that is exactly where the inspecting officer will surely look. When I was still working, I saw a sign on a Florida supermarket's distribution center that I was visiting. If you don't have time to do it right, do you have time to do it over? Your character is defined by what you do when nobody is watching. Your character and your stewardship can define who you are and if you are paying attention. Stewardship is a theological belief that humans are responsible for the world and should take care of it. Believers in stewardship are usually people who believe in one God, who created the universe and all that is within it, also believing that they must take care of creation and look after it. Well, we know where George Soros and Antifa stand. Creation includes animals and the environment. Many religions and denominations have various degrees of support for environmental stewardship. It can have public political implications, such as Christian democracy. A biblical worldview of stewardship can be consciously defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. The central essence of biblical worldview of stewardship is managing everything God brings into the believer's life in a manner that honors God and impacts eternity. Stewardship begins and ends with the understanding of God's ownership of all. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. Deuteronomy 10:14. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Job 41:11. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Christian stewardship refers to the responsibility that Christians have in maintaining and using wisely the gifts that God has bestowed. God wishes human beings to be His collaborators in the work of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Increasingly, this has referred to environmental protectionism. This also includes traditional Christian ministries that share the resources of treasure, time, and talent. A broader concept of stewardship is illustrated in Jesus' parable of the talents, which refer to an amount of money, but by implication as abilities. I, being a curious creature I am, I wondered, well, how much was a talent worth back then? Research found answers all over the board, and I found out it really was a big deal. But according to BibleGateway.com, I found that a talent was equal to about 20 years of a day's laborer's wage. In today's economy, if you assume that a day manual labor worker makes about $20,000 a year, then one talent was worth $400,000. Five talents would be equivalent to $2 million today. And these amounts were allocated based on their abilities, not on their interests or on their personality styles, but on their skill sets. In the parable of the talents, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Each to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five. And likewise, he who had received two talents gained two more. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five. I have gained five more besides it. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over, a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of our Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have the abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Additionally, frequent references to the tithe or the giving, of a portion are found throughout the Bible as part of the Jewish law. The tithe is God's standard for giving and represents the returning to God significant, specific, and intentional portion of material gain. Now, under the Jewish law, the first 10% of one's food, produce, and animal livestock was to be sacrificed at the temple for the sustenance of the Levites. However, giving is not limited to the tithe or specific amount, illustrated by Jesus' comment that a woman who gave a very small amount had given more than those who had given large amounts, because while they gave out of their abundance, she had given all she had to live on. We read in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 small coins, 2 leptka. Now I digress momentarily. 2 leptka was equal to a quadrennus, which was equal to 1/64th of a denarius, or about $2, $2. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now I brought with me a replica of the mite, and it was here before. I'll find it. I had received this mite, this replica from Friends of Israel. It's in one of their many requests for financial support. Just a small little bronze coin. Jesus, in another discourse with a rich young man, concedes that this ideal of giving up all of one's possessions is impractical. With man, this is impossible. Matthew 19:26. So in my research, I found that tithing is not required of Christians today, as we are not under the Old Testament Mosaic covenant. It is, however, a tool for us to use for giving our fair share to God. If you make a commitment to God to tithe, that forces you to be accountable, not only to God, but to yourself. Of course, that is your decision. So, stewardship is not only faithfully giving your weekly offering, but it is maintaining and protecting the gifts that God has bestowed on all of us. Money is not the root of all evil. Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, all wrongdoings can be traced to an excessive attachment to material wealth. We must play the hand we are dealt, do the best we can, and with God's help, of course, be satisfied. Heavenly Father, please guide our stewardship of all our creation and in our giving. We thank you for what we have, and Father, we pray we can be content to live the life we have been given and to trust in you to help us live accordingly. This we ask in your Son's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, will the ushers please stay seated? Okay, we're going to conclude today's service with hymn number 61. And you know, the picture on the cover of the bulletin is entitled The Harvester. And we must harvest our stewardship in all we do.